Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome to the show. This is Sports with Strawberry Ice. I'm your host, Jeff Trunaple, the Iceman. And as always, I'm bringing you sports from a West Side point of view right here in the great city of Cincinnati, Ohio, home of the great Facebook group Hootay Nation and the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, do me a favor. If you found the show, hit that like and subscribe button. Smash that thumbs up. I'm up to 1,124 subscribers. That is awesome. I appreciate every single one of you guys. You guys are the reason that I get this done or get to do this. Now, this show and every show is brought to you by T Properties. T Properties, quality housing for quality people. Check out their website at www.tproperties.llc.com for all your rental property management needs and your rental needs. All right, guys. Now, since I've gotten monetized, I've gotten a new thing that I haven't really publicized very much, but it's called Super Chats, and it's on the YouTube channel. And my man, Hank, I hope I'm saying your last name right, Kershaw, gave me two Super Chats for $10 yesterday, a total of $20, which is awesome. So I appreciate you, Hank, for supporting the show. So if you guys ever are wanting to support what I'm doing, you can do it by doing the Super Chats, and that is in the on the YouTube channel. So let's see what's going on. Hootay, John, what's going on, John? Maddie, what up, what up, what up? Hootay, brother, Hootay. Let's see here. Let me get to my stuff. News of the day first here. Just wanted to get that out of the way. Say hello to everybody watching the show. But this is something that's so nice for older Bengal fans like me. I remember when we would draft guys and it would take forever to sign them. That is not a problem anymore. I mean, it also has to do with the way they've set up the rookie salary cap and stuff like that. But it's just nice to know that you don't have to worry about it anymore, because today, Ja'Marr Chase and Joseph Osai both signed. So every single one of the Bengals draft picks are signed. Every single player that's putting the stripes on has been at OTAs. That is great. It is just a breath of fresh air of what we're getting to enjoy as Bengal fans. Now, the only person I saw reporting anything about the contract was here on Sports Track. It said Ja'Marr Chase has now signed his four-year, $30.8 million fully guaranteed contract with the Bengals, including a $19.7 million signing bonus at $5.6 million to the cap. Chase, Boyd, Higgins, Omai are accounting for just $17.3 million of the cap this season. So not bad for, I think, the best trio of wide receivers in the NFL. So let's see. What guys are already blowing a chat up. Let's see what's going on. Ace killed. Let's see here. What do you got here? John, Ace killed on the wide receivers yesterday. Talk about Ace Boogie. Yeah, hopefully Ace should be joining the show later on tonight during the show. He's got some stuff going on. Hopefully he'll be able to join. I said he was going to join. He told me he could join. And phew, as soon as I say that, speak of the devil, my man has shown up. Now, hold on. I gotta do the proper intro for you. Hold on. I gotta find your intro here. Ace, hold on a second. Here you go. All right. Let's do this. My man. Now, see, that's a friend right there. He had something else going on. He told me he'd come on the show. He got it done, and it was very important what he was doing for him and his brand. But anyway, here's my man. Ace, what's going on, brother?
What's going on, Iceman? How you doing, bro?
Good, man. Good. Just getting excited about the Bengals, and they signed Ja'Marr Chase and Joseph Osai.
Yes, sir.
Everybody signed. Everybody's at OTAs. We're getting healthy. I mean, it's nothing but good stuff right now in Bengal land.
Oh, man, it's amazing. I mean, for Joe Burrow to be participating in the form and fashion that he's doing it right now is truly amazing. And you'll probably get people like, oh, Bengals fans are just super excited. Like, this is not normal. Like, this is not normal for a player that suffered the catastrophic injury that Joe Burrow had last year to be throwing in OTAs. I mean, dropping back, dropping dimes. I mean,
right.
Throwing for 50 or 60 yards. Like,
right.
Are you guys serious? Or are you guys just haters? I don't know. Like, it's not that Bengals fans are overreacting to this stuff. It's truly remarkable. I mean, we talk about Trey Hawkins, who ended up having, the same injury, one of them. And he still, from to my knowledge, I believe the first week of OTAs, he was not practicing. So, I mean, Joe's out there. So, I mean, that is remarkable. That just talks about, that just shows the moxie that this guy has. And I'm not saying this from a source or anything. I truly believe, and this is just my opinion from what we've seen with the progression, I think that he's going to play in the preseason. I think play one series.
Yeah. I mean, he even said he'd like to do it. You know, he'd like to knock the rust off. He said it's up to the doctors and the Bengals front office and everything. But, dude, I don't put a pass because, look, I've been optimistic saying that he was going to be back game one. I didn't think he'd be back. I said I didn't think he'd be back for the preseason. I sure as hell didn't think he'd be playing or passing in OTAs and moving like he is because he's doing all the drills. I mean, right. If you watch some of the, he's doing the high steps and the crossovers and all that stuff. And he's throwing it and he's got zip on the ball too. And that's one thing that Charlie Goldsmith brought up on the show yesterday. That was something that Joe wanted to work on in the offseason anyway, work on his arm. He did that along with rehabbing his knee. I mean, dude, that's dedication. So Jackpot Joey, I can't be more excited about it. And that's what I keep trying to tell people, too. And when I do all my optimistic, I put my orange sunglasses on, I'm all optimistic. And I said they're going 11-6. But to me, it's really not a pipe dream. This is stuff that actually could happen. I mean, right. I don't know if it's going to or not, but we've got the talent. We've got the quarterback. It's just nothing but star stripes.
It's a quarterback league, bro. It's like a lot of people are like, why are Bengals optimistic and this and that? And it all starts and ends with Joe Burrow. And a crazy thing is, I was talking to my coworker today and I showed him the video. And you guys are probably like, why are you in Florida showing your coworker a video of Joe Burrow? Well, he happens to be a huge LSU fan. So we talk about Joe Burrow all the time. He even, checks in on Joe Burrow with the Bengals and he knows that I'm a huge Bengals fan and stuff like that. And I sent him the video and this is what he said. He said, nothing looks like it changed. Like he was like, that is amazing. It's incredible that he's able to do this right now. And this is a guy that watched him at LSU for the two seasons that he was there, a huge Joe Burrow fan. And he's like, he's just excited. And, he's even more excited that we have Ja'Marr Chase and, we got NFL LSU going on in Cincinnati. LSU Midwest is going on right now.
Or the Cincinnati Bayou Bengals, whatever you want to call it. I want to do a shout out here for my super chat. Hank, you're the man. Thank you for the super chat, brother. Appreciate it. So like I said, at the beginning before Ace came on, I got super chats going now. So if you guys want to donate,
make sure you guys donate and support. You guys that watch my channel and know how YouTube works, definitely show the Iceman some love, man. I mean, he's putting out quality content every single day almost. So, I mean, you gotta give it up to him. And that's how you really show your support is, helping him out. That's definitely going to keep this channel going and getting even better than it's already a great show now. Not to try to or anything, but just helps us all grow channels.
Yeah, exactly. And you guys have been killing it here lately. Hell, you had Fred Johnson on your guys' show, and then you had Rennell Wren. And you guys did that on Memorial Day, and I got to listen to it actually last night when I was at work, and that was a great interview. You guys do an awesome job on your interviews.
Yeah, man. We try to bring something different. We try to make sure that we're. They always say whenever you do an interview, just make sure that you do your research on these guys, because the last thing that you want to do is ask them something that someone has already asked them.
Right.
Or, get something wrong. And that's what I always encourage everyone to do is just make sure that you did your research, because it makes the actual interviewee feel like, OK, these guys have done their research. Right. They know what they're doing. These are questions that I haven't answered before.
It's also like they take it time to actually research and try to, figure out, my life and, find out about me. That's kind of the way I felt when I had Dave Lapham on here. I started looking at all kinds of stuff up, and I had Ken Riley II on here.
Yeah, you got some great interviews on here as well, my friend. Don't shortchange yourself.
Well, I appreciate it, man. One of these days, I'll actually get a Bengal on. I'll keep trying. But Royal Flush Terry has got a challenge for you. He says, do you think you can get Ja'Marr Chase on your show, Ace? And if you do, I want to be on.
we're working, man. We're trying to work behind the scenes. But, these things, they do have you know, proper protocols that we have to go through. So if we're allowed to have Jamar Chase on, we would love to have it. Come on, you guys already know Zim wants to have Jamar on. You already know. Yeah. Come on, guys. So hopefully, if we're allowed to have him on, we would love to have him on.
Yeah, I've been tweeting at him, trying to get him on too, and he won't answer me. But I want to get back to Hank's question here. He gave me the super chat. I want to give his question the proper time here. It says Jackson Carman will be a legit offensive guard. People are worrying about nothing. I kind of agree with him on that. I mean, I think he is, and they've said this lots of times since they've drafted him, that Jackson Carman actually played tackle like a guard. And I mean, if you could do that, because the biggest difference from I never played offensive line in my life, but the biggest difference from people I've talked to of playing tackle and playing guard is you go from open space to a phone booth. And that's where you have to be, have the right feet, and right hands and everything to be a guard. But it looks like Jackson Carman is going to work out just fine.
Yeah, I have to agree. I mean, the GOAT Willie Anderson has been training this kid since he was young. And I mean, I don't think Willie's going to put his stamp of approval on anyone if he doesn't believe in them. And I think Jackson Carman is going to be a tremendous guard at the next level. I think he even has some tackle ability, but for now they need him to play guard. Mm-hmm. And I think that he's going to do a great job at it. I mean, I can't wait to see him out there in the preseason and see what he brings to the table. But you're talking about a guy that played left tackle for the number one pick in the draft this year, and he did it well for years. Mm-hmm. And so I actually did a cut the tape on him and took a look at, you know, some of the differences between his year prior to this season. And, man, even in the game against Chase, although he didn't give up any sacks, Chase did beat him on some plays. And then you watch him the next year against a guy, I believe it was a guy that the Bills drafted in the second round, I believe, edge rusher. He was one of the top guys. A lot of Bengals fans wanted him. Looked like the guy completely – mastered his craft. Stuff that he was getting beat on the previous year, he was not getting beat on it. And I'm not trying to say that he was getting beat up against Chase, because Chase didn't get a sack, right?
Right.
But the technique, all of the stuff, like, and that's why I like looking at different, you know, games, mm-hmm. because you don't want to just go off of your first game.
Right.
And
right.
the more that I watched, the more I was impressed. I was like, man, and you could tell, and I think that Willie had talked about it, like, yeah, I worked with him in the offseason, and you could just tell, man, it was like the technique tightened up and everything. So the kid is a willing learner. I think Dan Hoard had said that he pretty much knows most of the moves from defensive linemen. I mean, this guy, I think he's going to be good. I think he's definitely going to be legit. And that's all the Bengals need him to be. They just need him to be okay. We just need average guard play from the right guard position. And I think that he's going to bring above average guard play to that position, even in his first season.
Right, and the thing is, too, I know everybody thinks, you know, you want to play guard for 1 year and a kick out tackle. I don't know if that's necessarily a fact, because I think if we got three guys, if they don't – well, there's two options. Either they re-sign Riley Reiff, which they could, who knows. But if they don't, you got Fred Johnson, you got Akeem Adeniji, and then you got Deontay Smith, who they just drafted. Those three guys, I think, legitimately could have a chance to be our future right tackle.
Oh, easily.
And then you don't. And then if you, I mean, and that's where I'm like, if Jackson's playing awesome at guard, why move him? You know, if one of these guys can step in, I really think Fred Johnson could do it. I was big on him last year to replace Bobby Hart. I wish he'd gotten more of a shot to do it, but I really do think I think you guys said on your show, or I've heard on some other podcasts, it takes a couple years to develop offensive linemen in the NFL. And Fred Johnson's been – this will be, what, his third year, I think, with the Bengals. So, man, fourth year out of the NFL. Mm-hmm. So, he might be – next year going to his fifth. It might be the time of the year that he's, you know, at his peak, and he might be able to take that over.
Right. Yeah, I think Fred Johnson – I just think about, like he said on the show, sometimes he didn't have a defined role, so he was moving from position to position. I thought he played – and this is just me personally, like that first year – when he was playing left tackle, he played very solid in that stretch of four games.
Yes.
And I think that they found something there. And I think that he may possibly be better at tackle than guard. But, you know, I'm not a coach. I'm not going to leave that up for, you know, what I think or what he should do. But I think he's in good hands with Frank Pollock, and I think that the kid has a lot of talent. I mean, 6'8", the frame that he's had, he plays with a chip on the shoulder. I love the fact that in the interview he said that nothing is handed to him. He's out there to try to get it. Let's line up the best guys and may the best man win. And I think that approach that he has is I loved it, bro. I love the energy. I think that he can bring a lot to the team. And I think we'll see maybe in preseason and training camp, I think that he's going to be one of the last guys left.
Yeah. Well, one thing he said on the interview with you guys is you guys asked him about, you know, bringing in more players and stuff. And he's like, bro, I want competition.
He was like, I want the smoke. Like, right. That's why I went to Pittsburgh. And I was like, man, that's golden. Because when he went there, that's when Pittsburgh was considered, you know, an elite offensive line. Obviously, they're trash now. But back then, you know, they were considered a good line. So for him to say, I want competition and to bring that on, iron sharpens iron, I love that about him.
Yeah, exactly. And that to me, that's the attitude that we want with our players. You want that guy who is not scared of the competition, you know,
right?
Because that breeds into oops, I gotta get off there. Too many comments going here, but that breeds into competition, that breeds into the performance of on the field and just overall the team. If everybody's in competition with each other, that enhances the performance of your team. And to me, that also says that they have a lot of depth, which is right. One of the biggest problems the Bengals have had the last couple of years is not enough depth. Sure. Because we had so many guys getting injured. So hopefully, you know, that's the attitude that we're going to have here. Now, I know Royal Frust Terry had a comment or question I wanted to get up here. Oh, yeah, here it is. And I got one for him. He said, besides Joey B, T. Higgins, which Bengals sophomore takes the biggest leap forward? And me, I think personally it's going to be Logan Wilson. I think I'm looking for him to have take a big step forward this year. What do you think there, Ace?
I'm going to go with Khalid Kareem. I know people are probably going to say you're just saying that because he's on your show, and I'm not even saying that. Like, when I went back and rewatched the Bengals games early on, I noticed that he was in the backfield a lot, like a lot. He probably should have had 5 or 6 sacks his first season. He only ended up with 1. But, you know, there's times where he almost had Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm, there's times mm-hmm. where I'm looking at that I didn't even realize early in the season he was out there getting snaps and he was out there being disruptive in the backfield. So I actually believe Khalid Kareem is going to take a huge step this season. And a lot of people don't know, and I've said this on my show, and, you know, he was playing hurt last year.
Right.
And so I didn't even know that until later. Now he's 100% healthy. And so I think he's got a year of experience in this league. I think he's motivated. He can't wait to get after it. He's a great guy. And I think that he's also been getting it in the weight room this offseason. I believe he was also training with Akeem Davis Gaither. So I think that he's going to take a big step forward this season. I think that he could get a couple of sacks. I think, you know, maybe 5 or 6 isn't out of the realm of possibility, I think, for him. And I think we're going to see why they drafted him, because when I watched his highlights before we even interviewed him, I'm like, this kid could be special. He's got some good twitch to his game. And we talked during the draft, he talked about there was a lineman that everyone wanted. He ended up going to, I believe, the Las Vegas Raiders, if I'm not mistaken. His name escapes me. And everybody, Darisaw, I call him Darisaw.
Yeah,
and they had a field day against Darisaw, I believe, right. The year before he came in. So I think that he definitely has the talent and the size, and I think he'll take the leap next year or this season.
Yeah, hopefully both of them will. Now, I found this article. Now, people come at me all the time because I'm a big CJ Uzomah fan. I think he's going to be a very good player for us. He's back to 100% healthy, and people always say, you know, we need a better tight end and a weapon out there. Now, Hype Stripe came out and – oh, that's not it. This one. Hype Strike came out and said that, you know, a legit guy to trade for would be Zach Ertz. And I wouldn't mind it, but I'm not throwing, you know, a first round, second round. No. I mean, he was injured last year. I mean, if they want to damn near give him away, I'll take him. But, I mean, CJ Uzomah, I think, is a legit tight end. And if you guys remember when he, at the beginning of the year, before he got hurt, him and Joe had a connection. And just
they really did.
Yeah, and just this comment last year, or yesterday on his Zoom meeting, he said that about talking about the Bengals Super Bowl celebration when they they win it. He goes, I want to see Joe Burrow absolutely hammered wherever we're at. So, I mean, to me, that not to go get, you know, absolutely hammered and all that stuff, but their mindset is to win a Super Bowl, you know? And that's what CJ's mindset is. I mean, he's planning on, this is my job. I'm planning on being here when we do this. To me, that's a guy that's all in, and I think he's going to have a really good year. I don't know. How do you feel about the tight end room and CJ Uzomah?
I mean, no disrespect to the guy that wrote the article. I think, you know, Zach Ertz, I would definitely be open to get in Zach Ertz. I don't think that you should trade for him because I think he's going to get cut here soon. I wouldn't mind adding him to the room, but I love CJ Uzomah. You brought up a great point. I think CJ Uzomah definitely came on with Joe last season. I think that they have a very strong connection. I think the fact that they both were hurt and had to gain that camaraderie throughout that rehab time, I think that that's going to bode well for them. CJ Uzomah, I think, definitely can be a good supporter for Joe Burrow, because when you have that tight end, that's the safety blanket. And when they did not have him, it was tough. Oh, yeah. You know, you guys know from watching my YouTube channel, I'm not a big Drew Sample fan, nothing against him or anything like that. I wish him the best. But I don't know if you could get away with Drew Sample being your number one tight end. And obviously Thaddeus Moss is now in the mix.
Yeah.
He's had a connection with Joe Burrow. So I could see why someone would be like, yeah, there's no reason for us to add Zach Ertz, who's probably entering the downside of his career, because you got to think about the age at some point. But if you were to say you can get, you know, Zach Ertz for like league minimum or something, I'd take Zach Ertz for sure.
I agree. I'd take it too. But the thing is too is, I'm very curious and excited not only to see Uzomah, but I want to see Thad. I wanted them to draft him last year, and then I wanted them to sign him. So I'm very curious to see how he has progressed, because he's going to be healthy this year. He didn't play last year.
I think the one thing that stuck out to me, and sometimes I just look at like symbolism and stuff like that. Who's the first person that Joe Burrow is seen walking across the street? Right.
Yep.
To practice with. It's Thad Moss. He's got his dad's patented cornrows with the braids to the back, the 81 on. And you're just like, my immediate thought, that guy's not getting cut.
That was my immediate thought.
Moss is making the team. Like, that was just my immediate thought. And, you know, I think that the fact that we did not get to see Moss, there's a little bit of an unknown there. And so I think that I would love to see him. I really am curious to what his role will be going forward. My early prediction, and this is not having any sources, obviously we haven't seen them line up, and maybe some of the reporters have said this, but I would assume that he could at least start out at the Seathan Carter role with the H-back role, because then, you know, technically that's kind of a starter, you know, I would rather see him at that position than him being the third tight end on the bench or something like that. So I would love to see him there, and I'd love to see what he can do. I mean, I think we're going to see it in the preseason, fellas. Like, I'm really excited to see what he can do with that Moss for sure.
Exactly. All right, I got another super chat I got to put out there. Hank, again, he's killing it with the super chats. Appreciate you, bro. He said, if we win 10 games, does Zach get an extension? I think so. You know, I mean, to be honest, I don't necessarily think Zach is on as big a hot seat as everybody thinks he is. I think Lou Armadillo is more on the hot seat than Zach. Now, if they start out 0-4 or 0-5, then yeah, he is. But I really think Lou is more on the hot seat than anybody. But one thing I've noticed, I've done some more research on Lou and what he's trying to do with the defense, and I'm kind of understanding it a little bit more. I mean, I don't understand dropping Carlos Dunlap or Lawson or these guys back in the coverage, but from what I've read and everything, he's trying to be a morphing defense, kind of like what the Patriots do. You know, for whatever that team does best, take that away from them and make them beat you doing something else. And I think he's actually got the talent and versatility more so now than he's had the first 2 years on the defense side of the ball with all the guys they've got. So I'm not completely sold on him yet, but I want to wait and see. I think he's got a better shot of doing what he wants to do, I think. How do you feel about that?
I think Lou just has to get his own guys in there. I mean, I think some people didn't look at, and I'm not trying to give him an out or get out of jail free card or something like that.
Yeah, neither am I.
The personnel has to match the scheme. If you guys don't have a scheme, if guys don't have a scheme or have guys that fit the scheme, it's pretty hard to get it to work on the field. Like you just said yourself, dropping Carlos Dunlap in coverage, that just doesn't work. But how could you come in and say, Carlos Dunlap, you're not starting? Now, we know that that eventually happened, right? But you can't come in to like Carlos Dunlap and Geno Atkins, even if they don't particularly fit the scheme like a glove. You can't particularly come in and be like, that guy, you know, isn't starting. And so you end up with Carlos Dunlap dropping in the coverage. And so I think now with them being able to go out in 2 years in free agency and be able to sign all of these guys, you got your system. You've got your guys. You brought in Osai. I think Osai actually drops back into coverage much better than Carlos Dunlap with.
Sample does too. I mean,
Sample as well. I mean, Osai with him being a former linebacker, I don't think he'll have any issues with that. Sample, as you said. And then they've got Shelvin and you get Rennell Wren back. So I think that they're going to at least have players that fit their scheme better. Yeah. But as you said, we have to see how it plays out because Lou is on the hot seat. Lou, you know, he had some games where he tightened up, and then we had the implosion of the Ravens game at the end of the season where they run for 400 to 500 yards, and everyone's trying to burn that out of our memories. And so I'm willing to give Lou a chance to see, okay, now that you have your guys, now that you have guys that fit your scheme, how is this defense going to perform? And I don't think we need top 10. I don't think we need – you know, top 15, even if he's 17, I think that that's good enough compared to where we've been the last, you know, five seasons.
Well, I kind of compare it to this season. To me, I kind of compare it to the 05 Bengals because Carson Palmer, he didn't play his first year. Second year played, they won 8-8. So Joe Burrow played his first year. They're coming into his second year. And if you remember, that offense was legit. It was probably the best offense in football that year. Our defense was more opportunistic. I don't remember what they were ranked, but it wasn't like they were, you know, top five or anything. They might have been top 15 or something like that. And that's where I kind of were in comparing the two teams. That's if this offense is as good as we think it's going to be, the defense doesn't have to be stellar. If they could be top 15, we're going to be in these games, you know, because I mean, the biggest thing is just get the other team off the field and get the ball back to Joe Burrow and this offense and go score 25, 30 points a game.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I don't think it needs to be a Ravens-X defense or anything like that. Get the ball back to Joe Burrow and give him more opportunities than the other team to win. I mean, I think it's that easy. You put the ball in Joe Burrow's hands, he puts points on the board. You take the ball out of the other quarterback's hands, and you allow them to put less points on the board. Yeah. And I think, you know, I'm not going to say that defense doesn't matter because obviously you have to get pressure and things of that nature, but – you know, even if it's a bend but don't break defense and you get turnovers and you're holding guys to three instead of seven and you get an interception on another drive or a big fumble, I think that that's something that the Bengals and Joe Burrow can work with.
Yeah, absolutely. And Royal Flush, I get my tongue to work. Royal Flush Terry also says, didn't Cleveland try a morphing defense a while back and they called it the UFO defense? I am not
a Cleveland friend. I have to ask my buddy Quincy Carrier. He's a huge Browns fan. I'll have to ask him about that one.
Yeah, I don't know myself if that's what they did or not. But I mean, the thing is though, there's been lots of teams that tried to do it. The Patriots have done and haven't been able to do it. But like I said, it's not that the Bengals need this to be a top five defense. But I really do think with the talent they have, we can be improved, and that's all we need. It's just like the offense, all we need, it needs to improve, and if it improves enough, we can go pretty far.
It's funny that they say like that they want to do the morphin defense because if I'm not mistaken, I kind of saw that the first year Lou was here. I went back and rewatched like the Bengals safeties the first year, and at one point they were using two safeties. At another point, they started to move Sean Williams from the safety position to linebacker. They were doing some looks there. Then they had three safeties. So I almost feel like he's kind of – I haven't went back and rewatched the defense last season, But the season before, I felt like he was already kind of doing that with different looks from week to week.
Right. Yeah. That's kind of like where I think us Bengals fans are going, what are you doing? You know, we couldn't figure it out. I'm like, that's not even close to what you did the week before. But yeah. But I mean, like I said, I've kind of gotten to the point where I understand what he's trying to do finally, because that was my biggest thing. I didn't know what his defense was, because I thought he wanted to play a 4-3, then it was a 3-4. Now it's a morphing thing. So I'm like, okay, if that's what you want to do, and you want to take away what that team does the best, because to me, to beat the Clowns and the Ratbirds, you got to take away the run. I'll take my chances and keep Lamar Jackson in the pocket. I'll take my chances on Baker Mayfield and Lamar Jackson throwing the ball against us than them running on it, because, you know, the Browns killed us running the ball. The Ravens got that three-headed monster along with Lamar Jackson. So to me, getting Tyler Shelvin, DJ, or by your big daddy, DJ Reader, Mike Daniels, Ogunjobi, all these guys that we have in the middle. Now, those guys are going to be, this is an obvious statement, but keys, the key to stopping the run. And we didn't get to see, you know, the rotation that I wanted to see last year. We didn't get to see DJ and Gino and Daniels all on the field at the same time. They're all injured.
Right.
So this year we got four guys that can do it. So hopefully we can stay injury free and those guys can stuff that middle up. And that's going to be a big change in our defense if those four can work like I think they can.
No, you're right. I mean, the injuries decimated the defensive tackle position. You know, when you look at it, like, yeah, the Bengals had a bad run defense, and it probably was due to the fact that they didn't have any D tackles healthy throughout that season. So to bring those guys back, it's huge. I mean, I just think about DJ Reader and how different the run defense looked without him in there. It was night and day.
Yeah, it went straight down from when he was gone. I got a question here from T. Cosby, I guess is how you say it. He says, is it normal for teams not to disclose details of coaches' contracts? They don't disclose the details of anybody's contract that I know. Yeah, they don't. I mean, the thing I found from Jamar is that Crack Sports, they're the only one that said this is what it was, and nobody else has actually claimed to know anything.
Yeah, the only thing that I've ever seen, I think the only details that – and there may be some other details out there. The only one that I remember the details with were, I think it was John Gruden. Didn't he get like a 10-year contract or something? It was something wild with the Raiders. He got like a 10-year deal.
He got that. Yeah, because they're the Raiders, and this is a big damn deal. We got John Gruden back, and well, that's worked out great. Whatever. But yeah, they did say that. But yeah, they usually don't. The Bengals as an organization, I don't think they announce the details of contracts.
Some of that stuff, like, you just never know how it's gonna pan out there. So it's probably best to keep that close to the vest.
Yeah, exactly. What's up, Harden? Punctuation, they're checking in. Let's see here. I'll see some more questions. There's more statements. But so what do you guys got coming on your show here? So you got more any cool interviews coming on here lately on your show?
Well, we were supposed to have one coming up, but we have to see if they're going to be allowed to be on. So we'll see. We're kind of in a wait and see kind of aspect right now. But we do have some people that might not be Bengals fans plan to come on. So we're actually doing some stuff with that. And I just talked to Flimlo today. So I'd probably say around preseason, be looking for that. You know, Flimlo is a huge YouTuber. I mean, man, helped me out a lot when I first got started here on YouTube with New Stripe City. Didn't even realize for the longest that he watched my show. So Flimlo is a guy, for those who watch YouTube, you probably know who he is. Almost has a million subscribers. If not, definitely be sure to check out his videos. He actually does some bingo stuff too now. He also has sports therapy, so be sure to check that out. And then we're still in the background running a few things on to try to get some guests lined up. So we were supposed to have one, but like I said, we have to see how this thing thing works out.
Right, exactly. I always got to hit this up every show, but because I'm trying to get everybody there, get as many people there as we can. It's the Jungle to the Hall that Bengal Gym is putting on, and we're about 2.5 weeks out from it. And it's June 19th, and it's going to be an all-day event. I mean, it starts at 10 a.m. They're going to be at Massillon High School. You're getting a tour of the high school facility. You see a Paul Brown statue, all kinds of pictures of Paul Brown. I mean, Paul Brown started coaching football there. 1 o'clock, 1 to 3 is the rally for soon to be Hall of Famers, speaking into existence, soon to be Hall of Famers, Ken Rowley and Ken Anderson. And then after that, they're going into a tour of the Hall of Fame. And then they've got a brew house. They're going to hang out at and got hotel rooms. And it's all you got to do is register. And so all the registration details and everything are on Bengal Jim's Facebook page and his Twitter. And I'm going, and I'm actually moving my freaking vacation so I can go to this thing. So, because I'm supposed to be going, I'm going to be heading down to your neck of the woods here to Florida.
Yes, sir.
And every time, like, my wife is from Florida. And every time we go, we always go in the summertime because everybody's off school and all this stuff. Dude, it's hot as hell down there. This Ohio boy melts.
Yeah, bro, you're not the only one. Like, we were just joking about that at work. It was like, Floridians, we stay in the summertime because it's too hot. It's too hot. It's about 90 to 100 degrees and all kind of stuff. So generally, that's why we're inside with the AC. Sometimes we got the pool going and stuff like that, but generally around this time, man,
you in the house.
Yes, sir.
You in the house in the air conditioning. That's what my in-laws are doing. All right. Pardon the punctuation, says, will Joseph Burrow, Jackpot Joey Burrow, be the MVP of the league this year?
Ooh. I think it's coming. I think that it wouldn't, like, in his career, I think he's definitely going to win MVP. Yeah.
I think he's more on track to get a player of a comeback player of the year. I think that's definitely on his. I think it's honestly, if they have two good years, it's going to be either between him and Dak Prescott. I think because they're quarterbacks. Quarterbacks get all the praise and everything. So in my early odds, you know, depending on how the season goes for each team, I think it's going to be between Dak and Joe.
So I actually just I reached out to Quincy and he said that the Browns ran last year a lot of cover three. There were a couple plays where they had a UFO package where they would have 8 to 10 guys on the line of scrimmage. The only time the franchise ever ran a UFO defense was when Romeo Crennel was the head coach from 2006 to 2008.
Ah, there you go. See that's why. See, you have to go to the man who has the sources, and that's that guy right there, not me. I don't have that many. He's my source. I'll message him for stuff. Like I said,
hey, Malik Wright has got the deuce too.
Oh yeah, dude, Malik Wright, dude, I gotta give that guy props. Everything he puts out, he's right on. You know, right. I mean, because he came on my show the second night of the draft, and he was not happy because he found out they were gonna draft.
Me and Malik were talking before, and you know, sometimes I check my sources with his,
right?
And I was like, yeah, but it was funny because we were talking about it, and then he confirmed it. He was like, yeah, and I'm upset about it. But the wild thing was, I kind of got a hint that it was gonna be a little later than we expected. So at first, I was thinking that we were gonna trade up, and then I'm like, I thought we were gonna trade up from the third round into the end of the second round, but I got the trade reversed. It actually was that we were going to trade back and then do it. So it was pretty dope.
Yeah.
Malik is on all of that stuff.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I had Malik on it, and he wouldn't tell me who they were going to draft. And everybody in the chat started saying Carmen Jackson. And I kind of clicked on one of the comments and said, this guy is, I can't say whatever. So I was trying to get it out of him, but I asked him, I said, all right, well, how about this? How about if they trade back and they draft this guy, would you be happy with that? He goes, yeah, I'd be more happy with that. So I, just from what I was talking to Malik and how upset he was if they took Jackson Carmen as high as
it was. What's funny is we were on the phone with each other before your show, and he was like, man, I can't show how upset that I am on this
show. I knew he was. I'm like, he was just like usually he come on, he's talking to himself. He's just like, he was just salty, dude. I could just tell. But just from talking to him and everything, I said, in my own mind, I got a feeling they're going to trade back because I can't see. Well, I mean, I can see the Bengals doing it, but I don't really think if they think they can get him later in the second round, I can see him trade back because the Bengals, how many times do they trade back in the second round? I mean, they do that a ton. Yeah. So that's where I'm like, this would be a perfect spot if this guy is still there to trade back. And I'm extremely happy with the guys that got in the trade, you know, I mean, right, how it all worked out. And then also let us get a kicker in the fifth round who some people are like, oh, why are you taking the kicker? I'm like, well, because we had, you know, three,
second Randy round. Bullock? Like, yeah, are you serious? Right. Because he like missed the extra point that would have tied up a game.
Yeah.
Like, that kills me. And like, not to go off on a tangent, but bro, like, I didn't hear people complaining when we drafted the kicker last time in the fifth round. And
right.
I don't even feel like we needed it as much as we needed it this year. Yeah. Like,
well, if you don't draft him, who the hell is going to be your kicker? Because they're letting right. Bullock go. So I'm like, I was like praying, like, God, please, we got to get a kicker.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I was
we
like,
we got to get a kicker.
We've and been asking for a kicker for how long? Yeah. Like, come on, guys.
And dude, he's got a freaking cannon. And I mean, I'm not trying to hype him up too much, but he has the potential to be a weapon. And we haven't really had a weapon as a kicker, in my opinion, since Jim Breach.
And we picked Jake Elliott in the fifth round. We literally did this before, and I never remember people like saying, like, oh, why would they pick right. Jake Elliott? And like, you know, best kicker in the draft. I mean, it's not like exactly. It's not like you're drafting a kicker in the third round. That's why, or the fourth. Like, that's why I was scratching my head. I'm just like, it's the fifth round.
It's the fifth round.
You got to secure him. In the sixth, anybody could have taken him. And then you're sitting there with Randy Bullock still.
Like, yeah.
Randy Bullock.
He was
Randy
gone,
Bullock
yeah.
left.
Yeah, he was
Austin
gone.
Austin Seibert is even worse than Randy Bullock.
That's what
he's
I'm
worst.
Like, yeah, I'm like, he's we worse. Have got to get a kicker. And the thing is, I wasn't a huge Randy Bullock fan, but I was definitely one of the Seibert fan. And
Seibert is horrible.
Oh, he was terrible. And the thing is, once Bullock was gone, I'm like, holy crap, we really got to get a kicker, because Bullock would drive me nuts. He could hit a 50-yard field goal, you know, but then he missed a chip shot. It's like, dude.
anytime Bullock was getting ready to kick a field goal, I just was never sold on that. I always expected that he was going to lose it, that he was going to miss it or something like that, so that I wouldn't be upset. But, you know, you get anxiety when Randy Bullock is getting ready to kick a field goal, especially when it matters. Like, you don't want to have that. I want to have, not saying that he's going to be this guy, but the one thing that I'm jealous about Ravens fans is that they have Justin Tucker, and they can just be like, oh, just send him out. We don't even have to. Yeah, he's going to make it.
Exactly. That's what I was saying. We could possibly have a kicker who's a weapon. That's awesome. I mean, you know, I don't want to kick field goals. I want touchdowns. But every once in a while, you know, it doesn't happen. And it would be nice to have a guy, oh, it's 50 yards. Yeah, go out there and nail it and have him drill it and not have to worry about it. Right, exactly.
Put as many points on the board as you can. And I think that's what the guy does. And you got to think about it, too. Like, fifth rounder, I mean, how many of those guys are really starting? I mean, this is a guy from a value standpoint. He's going to add value to your team from day one.
Yeah, I mean, Jake Lisco from the Locked On Bengals podcast has been on there, and he's not a fan of it because he's like, well, we probably could have got him afterwards. I'm like, not really. I don't know if they could have, because I think, like you said, I think somebody would have taken him in the sixth round, and I'm like,
someone could. I mean, kickers have been drafted in the third round. Like, the number one guys, like, you just think about the guy that the Buccaneers, he and I think sometimes mentally that messes with them, right? Because when you get picked that high, you have to be the next Adam Vinatieri or someone like that. Yep. But, you know, I'm not so sure that he's there. I mean, it's even when you talk about fantasy football, right? And you want to get that number one kicker, you're like, I'm going to take Justin Tucker. There's going to be a guy that's like, I'm taking Justin Tucker in the seventh round. And there's going to be other guys that are like, I'm not drafting the kicker until the 13th or 14th round. And it really just comes down to, do you want the top kicker or not? What are you willing to spend? And so, yeah, I'm not so sure that if you wait, that guy is just there, especially when the NFL has a kicking problem. Like, these guys are always out there missing kicks and stuff like that. And so in order to upgrade that, I'm fine with them doing that, because the likelihood that a fifth round pick is really going to be on the field immediately is not likely. You're probably taking a developmental guy at that point.
Right.
So I had no problem with them taking the kicker at all.
Now we got some things going on in the chat. A couple people talking about the difference between Puka and Chris Evans, and which one might make the team, which one's a gadget guy, which one could be a punt returner. What's your thoughts on those two?
It's funny that you bring up Chris Evans. I think that Chris Evans is, from what I've heard from people that have seen him, I think at the rookie minicamp, he looks very good, is what I heard. He's very fluid. Makes sense why they gave him number 25.
Right.
Also potentially has some ability to play in the slot. So that really sounds a lot like Giovanni Bernard. I'm not going to put that and anoint him as Giovanni Bernard. But I think that he brings that to the table. I think Puka is an electric player as well. That brings a lot to the table. He's very versatile. So it'll be interesting to see if they use him on special teams. I think that that could definitely be a niche for him. But the Bengals at the same time have two elite special teamers potentially. I think Brandon Wilson is one. Obviously, he's one of the best returners in the league. Then you also have Darius Phillips, who don't forget, could potentially be an elite guy. But Puka, I think that is going to come down to, you know, him and Evans are kind of competing for that same spot. So it just depends on how they utilize him. But I think that he could be a gadget player. I think that Puka can do a lot. I think that they both have talent. I think that they both could be used in all kind of ways. I think it's really going to come down to, are they like Giovanni Bernard when it comes to pass protection?
Yeah,
I'm not so sure. And the other thing is, with Joe Mixon finally being the top dog and not having anyone to take carries away from him,
right?
Are they really going to get that much time on the field? That's what I think it really comes down to. But I think with any of those guys, I think that they should be in good shape for the running back position. I'm really excited about Evans. Can't wait to see what he does on the field. And I'm really excited about Puka too. I mean, both of these guys, I think will duke it out for that spot.
Yeah, I mean, I'm real excited. I was excited about Chris Evans just a little bit. I saw the highlights of him. I called him, you know, this could be Gio Bernard 2.0. But like you said, he can be put in a slot. He can be out there on bubble screens. And that's you got to replace that because they let Gio go. So they did use him. So, but the thing is, you know, we're talking about Joe Mixon's going to be out there, you know, on multiple downs. And some people say he's got to work on his pass blocking. Well, I got a video I'll play right now where he can't pass block. Check this out. I don't know if you saw this or not.
Ooh, I love it.
And that was against Mike Hilton. So, I tweeted that out. Like, I'm the other guy playing for the Bengals now. I'm like, yeah, but he played for the Squealers then. So, but yeah, to mix it can pass block. You know, there are. I was talking to Jake Lisco about this too. I think there's times where he might be indecisive of if he should pass block, let the guy go, or try to go out to get a screen. You know, I think that's where he's got to be more decisive in his decision making of when to block and when to just let the guy go and go get the try to get.
Yeah,
a pass,
I mean, it's just tough because Giovanni Bernard is so good at it. So when you put somebody next to him that's not Giovanni Bernard, it's easy to say, oh, he can't pass block as well. I saw something in the comments from my man, Paul. Jake Elliott was drafted in the fifth round. 2017, fifth round pick 153 is when the Bengals picked him.
There you go. Yeah, that, I don't know where
to. We'll see, man. Yeah. We have to see if we can do that, responding to what you just posted on the screen. We have to see.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Chris Evans. Yeah, you got that. Then somebody wants you to get Puka on the show.
Oh man, that would be fire. That would be fire. If we get permission, I would love to have both of those guys on.
Me too. So like I said, Ace, anytime we talk to him, say, hey, you know, I got this guy, really cool dude, the same thing I do, you know, sports strawberry ice. You guys should give him a shout out. Come on the show.
Yes, sir.
One of these days I will get one of them too. But you know, you gotta keep working at it. Okay, let's see here. This was a funny one I like that Brad put up there. I think Randy received a bonus from the Squares every time he missed a field goal.
Oh, man.
Those are the thing is, that reminded me. Remember, Shane Graham was kind of like that same way with me as far as Bengals kickers goes. How? Because I can remember two huge kicks he missed. One was in Denver where Carson Palmer brought us all the way back. And all we had to do is kick the extra point to tie the game. An extra point, and he freaking missed it. I'm like, oh, my God. And then there's another one where if he made the field goal, we win, and we knocked the Squealers out of the playoffs, and he missed it. I'm like, dude. Like, so that's where I'm excited about Evan. And I want a legit kicker that we can count on.
Yeah, I mean, you take this pick. What if he's here for – if you hit on the kicker, he's here for, what, the next 10 to 15 years?
Oh, I mean, yeah.
You don't have to worry about kicker anymore. Like, right. Instead of going into the draft next year, hey, let's get another kicker. How long have we been saying? I feel like for me, it's been ever since we had John Brown. Yeah. We've been like, we need to get a new kicker. Right. We need to get a new kicker. Like, it's really been, even since, I mean, Jake Elliott was back in 2017, like, we were still talking about a kicker. So, just get the player and not have to worry about it for the next 10 to 15 years.
Well, the thing is, people, too, aren't really talking about this, but we also could have a punting competition, too.
Yeah. Because
you got that's true. I mean, not that Hubert's, you know, a bad punter, but he's not as, you know, he's been, I think, in the league 10 years now, and his yardage is getting shorter. And they got Christian, I always say Ponder, but I always say his name wrong, but the kid from Ohio State.
Right.
I think he's in competition. So that's another thing. We could have possibly have a new kicker and a new punter in the mix this year. So that's the cool thing. There's competition everywhere on this team. And that's
special teams. You're not even safe.
Right, exactly. And, dude, I'm with you. I want to see – I really can't wait to see Darius Phillips. I want to see him, like Terry says here.
Yeah.
I want to see him be the punt returner. I think we see splashes of it. You know, they let him do it a couple years ago, and he looked really, really good at it. That's who I think should be the punt returner. You get him, and we got Wilson as the kick returner. Dude, we can have the best two in the league.
Yeah.
It's very, very, you know, I just get too hyped up about all the stuff. And I you know, I always say I got orange sunglasses on, but the thing is, like I said, I'm not grasping at straws. These are things that legitimately can happen. These guys are legitimately good players. So,
Like Darius Phillips has been great at like kick returns since college. I mean, that was just something that he was known for. And, you know, I think that he would definitely bring something to that dimension. It would be a cool way to get him involved in the field as well.
Exactly. Now, I didn't know this. Gray here saying Florida fans called him Kick Fearson.
Nice.
There you go. That's a pretty good name. I know we've Bengalorian has tweeted out. He started calling him the leg cannon.
Nice.
That's what he's called. So we got the leg cannon. I'm calling, Jeremy's calling Tyler Shelvin the Bayou Big Daddy. But everybody's getting nicknames, and that's the fun thing is when you think you have a good team, you're going to start doing stuff like this, you know?
I think the best one is Uno. I mean, Uno for Jamar Chase is kind of fire.
Oh, I haven't heard that one. I like that.
He calls himself Uno. I think is, and I remember seeing him tweet it, and it was like he was calling himself the number one receiver in the class, and he put Uno, and then, you know, he just kept saying Uno, and I mean, he's number one. So
yeah, that makes sense. I love it. That's an awesome nickname. And well, let's get into a little bit of Jamar Chase here before I let you go. The thing that impresses me about Jamar, not only on the field, is off the field. I think he's a real down-to-earth kid. Him and Joe Burrow remind me a lot of each other. I think they both got kind of the same mindset. To me, there's a difference between cockiness and confidence. Right. You know, and they are very confident in what they're doing. You know, because Jamar came out and said it. He goes, I want to break all the records. I want to break, you know, AJ's. I want to break Chad's. I want to break all the wide receiver records. And he believes he can do it. I believe he can do it. And to me, it wasn't an arrogant thing, you know. And just seeing him coming out and doing the work and putting the time in and, you know, him and Joe stayed after practice throwing passes already. So those are the things that those character type guys, him, Jesse Bates, Joe Burrow, these are the guys that you want as building blocks for your team. And they're all great character guys. Jesse Bates was on Dan Hord's Dave Lapham's podcast. And I love that dude. He's another down-to-earth but very confident guy. And he's even come out and said that he's the leader of the Bengals defense now, which I completely agree with. These are things that are good for the Bengals that we have confidence. Not necessarily cockiness.
No, I'm with you. I think like you said, it's just about him wanting to challenge himself and, you know, to be amongst those guys. I think that's what it was really about. I think that he's a hard worker, stayed after the first AOCA to throw with Joe. I mean, I think that it's more just a confidence. It's not, you know, that he's super cocky, and I think he wants to go out and prove it. I mean, the one thing that I liked, and it kind of flew under the radar, they asked him what would be the first division rival that he would want to take on. And he said the Ravens. He said the Ravens for a reason. Ravens have, you know, possibly the best secondary in the NFL. And that's taking a page out of the Fred Johnson book. I want the smoke. I don't want the easy way out. I want to go at the Ravens. And when he said that, my antennas went up. I was like, let's get it. Let's go.
Well, that's the thing is you got to have that mindset because you gotta go through them to get to where you want to go. So you can't be scared. I hate the Ratbirds, but they're up here. The clowns are up here. We're down here. You know, we got to go through them. You know, and you can say the Squealers, but I don't think the Squealers are going to be that good this year, to be honest. I don't either. I just don't see it. I mean, I know they drafted the running back, and everybody keeps talking about that, but their offensive line is terrible.
Ben is like 40. Father Time is undefeated, bro. And if Father Time hits them, I mean, Tomlin's a great coach. That schedule for them is tough. If Ben's arm is, like, dead by week three, I just don't see them, like, coming out on top. Like, I just don't see it. The offensive line is bad, too.
Right.
The offensive line is really bad.
Juju, to me, hasn't really proven he's a number one wide receiver. Can't even tell you
he's the number one social media influencer. It seems like he's more worried about that than football. I don't want a guy like that on my team. Like, concentrate on winning and not getting likes and follows on social media and seeing how many views you can get on TikTok. When you got more views on getting your clock claimed by Von Bell than you're getting on TikTok.
Exactly. And that's another thing that I love about the Bengals. All these guys are about ball. They're all about ball. They're not about social media this, follow me here, do this. They're about ball. And I think that's the mindset of the whole team. And I'm not trying to throw Chad Johnson on the bus. I love Chad Johnson. But I also think that was part of his detriment. He was trying to get himself on social media and all that stuff. I think sometimes that was a detriment to himself and the team. We don't have that on this team. We didn't have that. Well, we had knuckleheads on the teams that we went to the 5-straight playoffs, but we didn't have guys that were social media. We just had guys that did dumb stuff on the field sometimes. And it goes back to the character. I think that Zach's plan to get, captains and get high character guys is really going to pan out for us. I want to emphasize that these guys that they have, they're good dudes and they're all about football. They're all about putting the work in and they're not afraid to put the work in. And like you said, they're not afraid of the challenge. Right. That's going to translate on the field to me.
I think sometimes some of the character stuff is kind of overblown because when you compare what was happening in 2010 until now, to what was happening when Marvin Lewis first got there. I don't think it's close in terms of, 2005, what was happening and stuff like that. I think a lot of people remember 2005 and those years, and they thought that 2010 was kind of the same thing. You never heard anything about AJ Green. You never heard anything about Vontaze Burfict. You never heard anything about pretty much any of the guys from the team, but that stigma just stuck with them. And, the thing that happened in 2015, a lot of people made a big thing about that, but there were other things that I personally heard that were at play, not justifying what happened on the field. But honestly, guys, if Jeremy Hill doesn't fumble, none of that stuff even happens.
Exactly. And,
I've said this before. I don't know if I've ever said it publicly or anything. The biggest culprit in that has never been talked about. The biggest culprit was Wallace Gilberry.
Last time you were on my show, you talked about this, but go ahead.
Yeah, so the Wallace Gilberry thing, you already know. Yeah. Wallace Gilberry, there was a bounty put on his head. Mm-hmm. It was rumored that Todd Haley put a bounty on his head. He used to play for Todd Haley. And that's where a lot of those emotions came from. It started with Wallace Gilberry, spilled over into Vontaze Burfict and Pac-Man Jones. We all know what happened, but I just, you look at some of the other teams in this division, a lot of them have had a lot of issues. Mm-hmm. Off the field and stuff like that. I'm not going to, Squealers this offseason, literally this offseason. But, there's been other teams that have had some issues as well.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, man, I'm going to let you go. I appreciate you. You bet you give me an hour. Tell everybody where, if they don't know where to follow you, and, just give all your information out for people who don't know who you are, which I'm sure pretty much everybody on here knows who you are, but go ahead.
Yep, you can find me on YouTube, New Stripe City. You can also find me on YouTube on AFC North Talk. That's a round table that I do with the Bengals, Steelers, Browns, and Ravens. We all come together. We actually just did a show yesterday with the Bengals. were awarded the number one position in the division for wide receivers. So be sure to check that out. And then you can also follow me on Twitter at New Stripe City.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's one of the key things I keep saying about this team. We get the best wide receiver trio in the division. They're going to have a hard time stopping us. But, man, thanks. We can keep talking for an hour. I will let you go. I appreciate you, brother. Make sure you guys follow him. Check out him and Zim Houday. Orange is the New Black podcast. And, as always, Ace, Houday, brother.
Houday.
All right, guys, that was fun. I hope you guys enjoyed that. I think I'm going to get the heck out of here. I saw this. And I agree with you. Boyd Higgins, 1,000 yards. Chase, 8,000 to 9,000 yards. Hey, that sounds good to me, man. I speak with orange sunglasses on all the time, so I'm very excited, very optimistic about what is going on with the Bengals this year and what they've done. It's just, I'm 46 years old. I've been a Bengals fan my entire life, so to the last 3 years, 2 years, I'd say last 2 years of signing the free agencies, getting Joe Burrow, getting Jamar Chase, getting Higgins, getting these guys of high character, high quality, high work ethic on our team, putting on the Bengal stripes is very prideful for me because there's been so many times. I mean, I was here for the 90s, you know, and we stunk that whole decade. But to have what we have going on right now is awesome, and where I think it's going to go is going to be absolutely amazing, and it's going to be a fun ride, and Jeremy D is going to be streaking at the end of this. So let me get to the Facebook groups that let me live stream. I appreciate every single one of them. I are Houday Nation, Cincinnati Bengals the Jungle, Bengals Houday Nation, Cincinnati Reds rounding third heading for home, Bearcat Country, the Ohio State Bucknuts, the Ice Bar. And then you can follow me on all my social media platforms, all under Sports Strawberry Ice. I got different handles, but I'm on Facebook, Sports Strawberry Ice, Twitter. You follow there, Sports Strawberry Ice, but the handle is Jeff A. Trenopol. That's Trenepohl. Instagram, TikTok, the handle is Iceman90. I will be pulling the sound off later on today, and I'll get up faster than I did yesterday. I kind of got out of the habit of doing it after a long weekend, so I will get it up faster today. That I did last night. So if you listen to the podcast and you can't watch the show for an hour, check it out. It's on BeanPod, Apple Podcast, Spotify, pretty much wherever you get your podcasts. If you guys enjoyed the show, tell your friends. I'm up to 1,124 subscribers. That is awesome. I appreciate every single one of you guys from the first one who subscribed to me to the last one who has. That is awesome. And like I said, I'm doing the super chats now. So if you guys support what I'm doing, give me a super chat. I will shout you out and appreciate it. And once we get to 10,000 subscribers, I will be giving away a Bengals jersey. I've got to figure out how I'm going to do it, but I get to 10,000 first. And other than that, as my friend Jeremy D always says, now remember, everybody all together, ready? Here we go. Ready? Remember one thing and one thing only. And as a great Sam Weiss would say, because he's at they're having LaSalle Sports Tag remembering Sam Weiss tonight. So hopefully you guys are going to that. As Sam would say, you don't live in Cleveland, you live in Cincinnati, so act like it. Houday! Let's go Reds. We got rained out today. Let's go Bengals. Bearcats are going to have a good year. It's going to be Miller time. And other than that, that's just sports, baby. See ya!